Retaliation, retribution, revenge. It is the cycle of endless violence that ravages our world. Don't you see? That's the normal way of things. But remember, Jesus is introducing us to a whole different way, another way entirely.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and you're joining us for our series through the Sermon on the Mount. Pastor Philip, I am so glad we're having this discussion. Forgive us our debts. We have to talk about this. This is where people are today, this need to get retribution, but there's a debt that we owe, a big debt that we owe to God himself. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so, Jesus' prayer request here that he's giving his disciples, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors, right? Mm. And we all know, we sense that the world owes us something, right? People haven't treated us well. People have hurt us. Like we look out and we feel the victimhood of a world that has hurt us. And we think, oh man, they owe me an apology and they owe me retribution and they need to make this right, right? So this language of debts that Jesus is using here, we all know how that works. We feel like there are people in life that owe us things, right? They're indebted to us, and we can fixate on those things. And then Jesus, though, leads with this phrase, go to your father and say, forgive us our debts. In other words, we've racked up a debt with God. We've not treated him the way that he deserves. And what Jesus is going to do is help us realize the debt we owe our Father is way bigger than any debt other people have racked up against us. And once we realize that we owe God everything, a debt we could never repay, and that he's actually forgiven us in Jesus Christ, so that every time we come to him with and confess our sins, that he's faithful and just and will forgive us. When we let that forgiveness settle down into our bones, it actually starts to change the way we view the debts that other people owe us. We start to forgive others as we ourselves have been forgiven. And what that does, Pastor Larry, is that breaks the cycle of violence. This world is full of dog eat dog, paying it back, get your pound of flesh, vengeance, retribution. That's what the world is about. But God broke the cycle of violence when he sent us Jesus and he forgave us. And that break in us is now, then we get to be a part of solving and bringing mercy and grace and forgiveness into the world, and that can break the cycle of violence in the world around us. This literally could change the world, what we're talking about. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
All right, now friends, you want to make sure you stay tuned after the message, because Pastor Philip has some practical advice about how do we deal with those people in our lives who won't admit that they've wronged us. But now, let's go to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we look at the cost of forgiveness. This is part one of the sermon, Forgive Us Our Debts.
Everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. It's not hard to see that our world needs to be a more forgiving place, is it? There's way too much tribalism, way too much hatred, way too much violence. It's not hard to see that our families need to be more forgiving places. There's way too much fighting and way too much bitterness, way too much estrangement. It's not hard to see that our churches need to be more forgiving places. There's way too much gossip, way too much judgmentalism, way too much division. And of course, it's easy to spot unforgiveness in other people, isn't it? It's much harder when it's our turn to forgive. But the reality is we need to be a more forgiving people, right? We have too much anger in our hearts. We have too many wounds that we are nursing. We have too many grudges that we are holding inside. Unforgiveness always rises from hurt, a place of hurt. Someone hurts us or hurts our people, sometimes deeply, irretrievably. And then that pain naturally starts to turn into anger. And anger generates a kind of energy of its own. Pain inflicts more pain. Anger fuels more anger. Hate breeds more hate. Violence begets more violence. Because hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And then those hurt people who hurt more people, who then in turn hurt still more people, and the hurt goes on and on until the world looks like our front page news. But what if there's another way? What if forgiveness can turn the world upside down? What if forgiveness is actually at the very heart of the life of the kingdom of heaven? What if forgiveness is the way of Jesus? It might just change the whole world. Grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 15 this morning. This is the Lord's Prayer. Famous verses that many of us know by heart. Let's read them together. We're going to look at the last, another two verses beyond the prayer today, which I'll read. But let's say the prayer together. Jesus introduces it, Matthew 6, 9, saying, pray then like this. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then Jesus adds these words. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Thanks be to the Lord for the reading of his word. This morning, I want to show you three attributes of forgiveness. Three attributes of forgiveness. We're going to see the gravity of forgiveness, the symmetry of forgiveness, and the trajectory of forgiveness. Gravity, symmetry, trajectory of forgiveness. Before we turn to God's word now, would you bow your heads? Let's ask the Lord to be our teacher. Father, there's probably no more invasive idea than forgiveness. It runs down deep to the very core of who we are, to some of the most difficult things we've ever faced in our lives. It brings back pain and agony and injustice, and we need to know what to do with our hearts. Father, would you set us free? Liberate us on the inside. Teach us the way of Jesus and how to forgive. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. First, the gravity of forgiveness. The gravity of forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. It's an interesting word, isn't it? Debts. It's financial language. It's evocative of like a bankruptcy court. It's like we've racked up all this debt and we can't possibly repay it, and our only hope is for our debt to be forgiven, right? This prayer assumes that you and I, we have racked up enormous debts with God. That's the implication. Forgive us our debts. And that other people have racked up enormous debts with us, as we have also forgiven our debtors. So what's with this debt? I think we all intuitively grasp that this is not ultimately about monetary debt, it's about sin debt, right? But why this imagery? Why does Jesus use the imagery of indebtedness? Well, one of the ways we can think about sin is that sin is a failure to give someone their due. Sin is a failure to give someone their due. So when it comes to God, God is our creator, he's our sustainer, he's the giver of all good things. And therefore, you and I, we owe him gratitude, respect, honor, love, devotion, trust, obedience, worship. We owe God a great deal of things that are rightfully due his name. And when we fail to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we fail to give God his due. In a sense, we are in his debt. Does that make sense? The same thing happens in human relationships. People are made in the image of God, yes? And therefore, human beings have certain things that are due to them: honor, dignity, respect, value. And when we fail to love our neighbors as ourselves, we fail to give God's image bearers what they are due. And we are in their debt as well. In a sense, whenever we sin, we fail to give God and other people what they are rightfully due. And so we are in their debt. And you and I live in a web of indebtedness. People owe us because they failed to give us our due in life. And we owe others because we've failed to give them their proper due. And we, all of us, owe God a great deal because every single one of us has failed to give him his rightful due. Now, in the normal cause of things, what we do with the debt is you've got to make someone pay, right? So in this case, when it comes to human interactions and our interactions with God, we got to make somebody pay. Someone has to pay the debt. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you, make you pay. You take from me, I'm going to take from you, I'm going to make you pay. You break my heart, I'll break yours, I'm going to make you pay. You created this debt, now pay up. Retaliation, retribution, revenge. It is the cycle of endless violence that ravages our world. Don't you see? That's the normal way of things. But remember, Jesus is introducing us to a whole different way, another way entirely. The way of the kingdom of heaven, the new heart of the Spirit, the way of Jesus, where we don't have to be angry, but we can be reconciled to our brothers, where we can love our enemies and do good to those who harm us and pray for those who persecute us. This is all unnatural behavior, supernatural behavior. It is an end to this cycle of endless violence, of retaliation, retribution, revenge. Jesus is introducing us to an entirely upside down kingdom idea. He's introducing us to forgiveness. What if, instead of exacting payment, we chose instead to forgive the debt? What if instead of exacting payment, we chose instead to forgive the debt? Instead of forcing them to pay up, what if we absorbed the debt ourselves and forgave? Well, if we could figure out how to do that, it would stop the cycle of violence, wouldn't it? Mercy would triumph over judgment. Forgiveness would turn the whole world on its head. And of course, friends, this is exactly what God did for us in Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners and enemies of God, Christ died for us. When we owed a debt we could never pay, Jesus paid a debt he never owed. Jesus died in our place and for our sake, the righteous for the unrighteousness, righteous to bring us to God. And on the cross, Jesus cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Don't you see? Jesus broke the cosmic cycle of violence on the cross. Instead of making us pay, he absorbed the debt in himself and forgave. In this prayer, Jesus is inviting us to bring all of our debt-ridden sin to our Father. Father, forgive us our debts. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. But notice that's not where the prayer stops. It continues. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. There is a connection between the forgiveness we receive and the forgiveness we extend. Do you see that?
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and before we start our discussion today, I wanted to let you know that this program is made possible because of generous supporters just like you. As a thank you for your gift today, we have a resource we'd love to share with you. Go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. We're glad you've joined us today as we explore the power of forgiveness. Now, Pastor Philip, you told us that Jesus is inviting us to bring our debts to the Father, but some of our listeners may be saying, well, what exactly is it that I owe God?
Good question. Yeah. I mean, we owe him everything at many levels, right? He gave us life and breath and everything else. We are supposed to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And so we owe God everything, which means that every single one of us has amassed an enormous debt before God. We owe him everything, and we've given him far less than that, and far less than he deserves. And so that's the massive debt that Jesus is saying every single one of us has, which means we need to regularly come before God our Father and ask for forgiveness. I think one of the great problems that we get into is we kind of think, well, I'm pretty good, therefore I don't have a lot to ask for forgiveness for. And Jesus is saying, no, every day, every day, all the time, you come and bring your debt before the Father. Like, keep short accounts. He wants to forgive you. Confess your sins. This is what he's ready and able and willing to do. Just come and own it and stop hiding.
Okay, fair enough. So we'll agree with you that we owe God a great debt. But how does that relate to those people that work down at my job with me? So how does my debt to God translate to me owing them anything?
Yeah, well, if we're all made in the image of God, we bear his image and likeness. Therefore, every human being is worthy of dignity and value and respect and worth. Like, we're to treat each other as image bearers, and that there's a connection between God, the creator, and we who bear his image. And if you think of it, if you go into an art gallery, and maybe there's a painting, and it's maybe you just, for whatever reason, it's in your way, like they put it on an easel and it's in your path, and so you think, I gotta get through there and just knock it over. Like, you would be desecrating a priceless work of art, not because the canvas is super valuable or whatever, but because of the signature that's down in the corner, right? Mm. And the reality is, every human being, even the ones that get it in our way, are people who have intrinsic worth and value because they're made in the image of God. They've got his signature on their life, and therefore they're worth dignity and value. And that's how we're to treat others, and that's how they're to treat us. And so we amass huge amounts of debts with each other in terms of what we owe each other and what people owe us. And so Jesus, again, is teaching us to keep short accounts, to actually regularly settle things, to confess our sins one to another, to offer forgiveness. You need this in marriage and families and churches. We need regular confession, regular forgiveness. That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. We need this every day. to be forgiving and asking for forgiveness.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go with you that far then. So we owe God a great debt, and because we owe him this great debt, we are compelled now as believers to treat others with dignity, forgiving just like God has forgiven us. But we live in a cycle of violence now, Pastor Philip, and everybody can attest to this. So how are we supposed to interact with people who they even refuse to admit that they've wronged us?
Mm. Yeah, well, that makes it really hard, doesn't it? It'd be easy.
I have a list.
Yeah. Am I on there? Yeah. No. It's easy. Well, let's be honest. It's really easy when someone will own their sin, how it hurt us, and ask for forgiveness and confess. Like, it's much easier to forgive in that circumstance than when someone is stubbornly refusing to admit to it, right? Like, well, you know, it's your problem. You know? And so here's where the real power is. You know, they say that forgiveness is like unlocking the door of the prison of your enemy, only to find you are the one actually locked in the cell. Like, you're actually freeing yourself.
Yes.
Forgiveness is the person who's most bound up when in unforgiveness is the person who won't forgive. And Jesus wants us free, and he models this for us, right? On the cross, before anyone confesses their sin, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Mm. He forgives before the confession. That's amazing to me. The father in the story of the prodigal son, remember, he runs to his son who's on his way home.
Yes.
And we know what the son is going to say. He rehearsed his "I'm sorry" speech when he was in the pigsty. He said, "I'm going to go home and do this." And when he actually gets home, the father cuts him off. Won't even let him finish. Here's a robe and a ring and all the celebration, the filet mignon, the whole deal, right?
Yeah.
And there's a picture. Jesus is showing us the heart of the Father. God is so eager to forgive. He doesn't actually wait for us to do our confession right, for us to grovel enough to prove that we actually mean it. He just preempts with a forgiving heart. That's what God's like. Is eager to forgive. And Jesus is trying to teach us that as we follow him, that we actually can learn to be eager to forgive, to let forgiveness go. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean, you know, what they did, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
It doesn't mean you're saying you deserved it. It doesn't mean you're saying you'll never think of it again. It doesn't mean you can't actually insist on good boundaries going forward or legal justice so other people don't have to face the thing that you endured.
So glad you said that.
We gotta be clear on that. But at the same time, I don't need to harbor it in my heart.
That's right.
I don't need to be crippled by the weight of unforgiveness. I can let it go. You know, they say unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the rat to die. You know, it's like, but you're the one suffering, right?
Yeah.
And again, when you forgive, it feels like you're freeing someone else, and it turns out you're the one that's walking free. And that's the freedom that the gospel can bring us. Because when we realize that we've been forgiven so much by our Heavenly Father, the debt we had with God is way bigger than any debt anyone has amassed with us. Mm. It cuts the wound down to size, and it allows me to say, I've been forgiven so much, I can't help but now forgive. Heavenly Father, help me do to others as you've done to me. And it's amazing, the freedom and power that comes into our life, the freedom of forgiveness.
Be encouraged today, beloved. God's word will unyoke you. Real freedom from unforgiveness requires a massive transformation. Donald S. Whitney's book, Praying the Bible, teaches us how to see people the way God sees them. The Psalms are chock full of prayers about enemies. This book will help you pray through a specific psalm in a simple, profound way. Now, request your copy of Praying the Bible. Simply go livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media at 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. True forgiveness requires us to lay down our weapons, and next time, we'll talk about the relationship between pride and forgiveness. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.